probably burn a couple weeks on this because I don't think I'm going to be able to get it all done today. The title this morning is The Seed, Sowing, and the Ground. We're going to dismiss the youngsters this morning. The title this morning is The Seed, Sowing, and the Ground, Part 1. It's June 22nd, 2014. And I want to share some stuff with you this morning about the seed, sowing, and the ground. And I'm going to give it to you from a different perspective. I want you to look at this, and as I put this together, I looked at this from God's point of view, from God speaking to you. It's not where I'm going to interpret it and think it's something different. I want to show you some things that the Holy Spirit's revealed to me about this living word this morning and about the seed, the sowing, and the ground, because it directly affects what we're dealing with in society today. I'm going to bring back something that's 2,000 years and show you how smart God is and how smart we isn't. And I want to start off by saying that we spend way too much time blaming the devil for everything that's going around us. And you and I got to understand that the devil was defeated 2,000 years ago by Jesus. We don't have to go stomp on the devil every time it's the devil did this and the devil made me do that. And the devil. You got to understand, the devil has been beat up 2,000 years ago by my elder brother Jesus, who stomped on him and put him out once and for all. Now, I say that because you're all going to say, oh, okay. I was reading the Bible, and the Bible says the devil did not create any of my issues. I do. Uh-oh. Sometimes we need to look in the mirror and see the devil we face is really the choices we've made, the decisions we made, the sowing of the seed that we've made, all the things that have come. We don't want to take any responsibility for anything we've done. We're always easy to blame somebody else. And as we've done this, you got to see that our society has done this now for 2,000 years, and now we have nothing but a mess. As we're blaming the Democrats, we're blaming the Republicans, we're blaming the independents, we're blaming the president, the last president, the other, and we're blaming George Washington. It's crazy. You know, the Bible talks about out of the heart will spring the issues of life. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs said that, I think, chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, I want you just to keep that in the back of your mind for a second, because your heart is the ground where the seed gets planted. And the issues of life comes out of your heart and Bible springs forth is because there's some stuff we've allowed to come in and then we blame the devil for it when we've opened up the door. I know this isn't popular preaching, but I'm going to help you this morning because we need to get people to understand you need to take some responsibility for where you're at in your life. You can't blame your mama, your papa, your grandma, your grandpa. I can't blame the color of my skin. You can't blame that I was born here or I was raised in the city of Detroit. That's why I speak funny. I mean, come on now. I wasn't educated, you know. I only got an eighth grade education. Because out of the heart springs the issues of life. I can fix my life when I fix my heart. Because the issues of life come out of my heart. So the only thing I got to fix, I can fix my heart. If I can fix my heart, then I can fix all the issues in my life. What we allow has caused the issues in our life. We need to be Bible focused. We need to take the devil out of the blame game and out of the equation and look at ourselves in the mirror and say, hey, I'm here because I've made some choices and some decisions that maybe weren't lined up with the Word of God. And I've allowed things to be sown into my life that I received, and now I'm just reaping the harvest of it. So I need to push some of this stuff out because, see, when a seed is underground, you don't see what's working until all of a sudden bubbles forth, and all of a sudden you get the seed of what that was inside that seed. Amen. It's called a harvest, good or bad. And the devil along the way always tries to bring some stuff, some thorns, and to grow some stuff in that in your heart so that it starts to choke out some stuff that is good inside of you. I believe in all principle that people are basically good, but they make bad decisions and bad choices. But we need to start taking the devil out of the blame game. And then when we take him out of the equation, all what's left is now me. Me and God. I got to take some responsibility, Lord. I know I've made some mistakes. I've made some poor judgments, some bad decisions. And I know I have to fix those, but I need some of your seed of your salvation. And I need the seed of your restoration. I need the seed to start taking root in my heart so that it will break forth in my life. In order to fix the things around me, I need to fix what's inside of me. Let me say that again. In order to fix the things around me, I need to fix the things inside of me. What is happening around you is because it was inside of you first. Uh-oh. What is happening around you is because it happened inside of you first. It took root inside of you first, and now you're reaping what you've sown. You're broke on the outside because you've been broke on the inside because you don't want to change some things around in your lifestyle. I knew I wasn't going to get no amens. Things need to change on the inside before the outside will change. God has called us to have a clean heart. When I got Jesus, I was hoping I could lose 100 pounds as soon as I received them. But the outside didn't catch up with the inside. My inside had to get right. I had to eat the right food. I had to exercise. I had to do it. And all of a sudden, then the outside appearance began to change. But I had to change the inside first. I had to change the way I thought. The way I did things, the way I acted, taking two large pizzas and folding them in half and making them a sandwich, okay, isn't probably a good idea for a meal, amen? But I could eat two large pizzas and fold them in half and make them a sandwich and eat that thing down and say, I don't know why I'm gaining so much weight. Thought I dated Betty Crocker, I tell you. I mean, I spent so much time with her just eating it up, man. In order to things I got to fix around me is I got to fix the things that are inside of me first. God said, I've been called to have a clean heart. It's all about having our heart clean because in the heart, the issues of life stem. That's what the Bible says. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about seed sowing and ground. And it's going to take me some time to get there because I'm going to break up your theology. I'm going to destroy your thought process here for a minute. I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. You'll probably throw something at me, and that's okay. I mean, they threw a shoe at the president. It's okay. You could throw one at me, too. It don't offend me. But I want you to get this because God has placed this on my heart that as Christians, we're supposed to lead and not follow. We follow Jesus, but I'm talking about people need to start following the Word of God. They're in such a mess. There's such decay. There's so much craziness going on. There's cops being shot and executed. People being murdered. Things going crazy. And people all blaming the person. They're blaming the gun. No, it's a person with the gun. Good guy, bad guy, you know. And that, oh, we want to take your rights away. I mean, it's crazy. No one wants to take responsibility for their actions. Because somebody has sown so much bad seed, they're only getting what's been placed in it. They're getting the harvest of it. But God's willing to swap out some of that old seed that's been choking you out. And I'm going to share something with you, and it's simple, because this is in Matthew 13, chapter 13, verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 18, but it might take us a half hour to get there. And we've heard this story, and I've read this story, and I've preached this parable, and I've went through it. And you know, when you're in a time of going through pain, God will begin to relay some things to you. Gives you a time to reflect some things and delve into His Word, and He shows you something that you've read 100 times, been preached by 100 pastors, 100 different ways. God, show me something different that I want you to see this morning. In Matthew 13, verse 1, it says, on the same day that Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and the great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Let me stop there for a second. There were so many people that gathered that Jesus had to go on the boat and separate himself from the people. Why didn't you just stay with them on shore, Jesus? Because that's the kind of guy I is. I ask questions. Hey, Jesus, I'm looking at this and it says that you came out of your house and you sat by the sea, and then a great multitude gathered together to him, and then he got into a boat and sat, and a great multitude, so he separated himself from a crowd of people. Because sometimes crowds gather for whatever reason. They just want to be part. They want to check what's going on. Hey, what's happening over there? What's happening over there? Verse 3 said, he spoke many things to them in parables. He spoke to them in parables. He spoke to them in a code. He spoke to them in a... He veiled the word. He didn't come out with it right away. He spoke to them in a parable. You'll get this here in a minute. And he spoke many things to them. And he said, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. You know some people like that. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And what I spoke many weeks ago, and it says, and he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in parables? Notice that Jesus said there was 100-fold, then a 60-fold, and then the 30-fold. Why didn't he say 30, 60, 100? Why didn't he say it the other way? Because God wants you to have 100% of everything. The only reason why you only have 60 or 30% is because there's something we're not doing. There's something we're not connecting to. There's something that it's available. 100% of it is available to us, but we only tap into 60% of it, or we only tap into 30% of it, or we tap into none of it. But God wants you to have the whole enchilada, the whole 100%. Because I looked at the scripture and I never really paid attention much. 30, 60, 100. I always said 30, 60, 100, 30, 60, 100. And then the Lord corrected me and said, no, look at it again. It's 100-fold and 60-fold and some 30-fold. Some got this, some got this, some got that. Some were listening and some only listened just a little bit. But then there's some that had their ears wide open saying, nah, I want to hear everything that God has. Jesus speaks in parables. So I go, okay, Lord, what's this parable? Parables are code or stories. Jesus veiled the word. In other words, he just didn't come out and say blah blah blah. He veiled it. He didn't define it on purpose. So I asked him why. And when you ask God questions, he will answer you and say, here's why I do what I do. Jesus taught for hours and didn't really want them to know what he was saying. You're saying, that's pretty crazy. He veiled that word in a parable for a purpose, for a reason. What do you mean, Pastor? He's trying to hide the word? No, you got to understand, certain groups he wanted to get it, and there's certain groups that will never get it. Oh, Pastor, that goes against my belief system. God wants everybody to get it. Well, let me help you for a minute. Some people came to be part of the crowd. Some people came because it was free. Some people went there to be entertained. But some went for the word. of God. Some went to Kenneth Copeland's ministries outreach here in Las Vegas because they were hungry for the word. But some just went to go there and see old friends. And I'm a pastor, so I'm going to sit in the pastor section. And I got to go. I got to be seen by everybody to let them know I was here with Kenneth Copeland. Some went with the wrong heart. So sometimes God has to veil the word because he's got so many good pearls, he doesn't want to just throw them away. This is what the Bible says. Touch your neighbor and say, Jesus loves everybody the same. Touch your other neighbor, say, Jesus loves everybody the same. That's Bible. Jesus loves everybody the same. He died for everybody, for everyone. Here in Haiti, Las Vegas, Detroit, California, New Mexico, wherever you, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, he died for all. He loves us all the same. But not everybody loves Jesus the same. Not everybody loves Jesus the same. So guess what happens? It's like separating two eggs. In the kingdom, it's not how much he loves you, it's how much you love him. He puts it, the responsibility, on your lap in the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, but when you work things in the kingdom of God, that's why you can get the 100, the 60, or the 30-fold. God said, how hungry are you for me? If you're hungry for me, then I can bless you with the 100-fold. It's there. It's available. It's inside of you. Jesus didn't come to the crowd. The crowd came to him. And some of those people were there for the healing lines. You ever been to a conference and they wait in line? I mean, we were at a Benny Hinn and all these people just waiting in line and for hours just to get hands laid on them. And I love something that we were at this Kenneth Copeland and he said that he would have a healing for like a leg or a knee or something. And 300 people come up and he says, I know there's only 50 of them, but the other 250 wanted to show up because they think they're going to tap into my anointing. They're just there for something. They want something for free. They're a bunch of moochers. They never want to give back. They never sacrifice. They never participate. When the collection offering comes, I can't give because this isn't really my home church. But I'm going to come here and allow this guy to pay for the whole conference, take all the word, all the anointing, shake some hands, kiss some babies, and do some stuff, get a free breakfast out of the deal, and then I'm going to just go on my way. Oh, I know I'm preaching good because it's quiet. They complain. They don't give up their time, their talents, or their finances. This is what Jesus is saying. This is about the kingdom. This isn't about you. I'm trying to get something to you, to get it through you, to bless you. Jesus isn't going to take all his precious pearls and just throw them out there. So the disciples got together, and you got to ask yourself, they asked Jesus a question. Hey, why did you speak in this parable? I don't get it. You had 5,000 people you fed with a few fish and a few loaves of bread, and you fed probably 15,000 people. Yeah, I can do that. Some of them are here for me, but most of them aren't. But then you look at the disciples and you see that they had a hunger. They were willing to sell their accounting business. They were willing to sell off their fishing boat. They were willing to stop what they were doing and sacrifice and give up what they had planned for their life to follow Jesus. Not that they couldn't go back, but they said, hey, I got something I got to do right now for a season. I need to follow Jesus and get informed about what he wants me to do. It costs these guys. They left something behind. In the kingdom of God, there is an us and there is a them. We're an us type of church. We're about Jesus. We're about getting it done. We're not going and picking certain parts of the Bible we like and don't like. We accept the whole thing. And sometimes it's a pill to swallow. It's a big pill. But I believe everything in that book. Everything. We just don't like, we don't like that healing part, or we don't like that tithing and giving part, or we're a church that believes everything but the Holy Spirit, or we're okay in everything, but would the Jonah really get swallowed away? When you get to heaven, you would tie it with the discussion with them, all right? But I'm going to believe that that's what happened, because that's what the Bible says. Now I'm about the kingdom. And there isn't us and them. Take a look at Matthew 13:10. Let's continue on here for a second. I'm going somewhere. It's about the heart. It's about the soil. It's about the seed. It's about the ground. I'm going to help you this morning. Matthew 13:10. And it said, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? So, you know, they asked the same question. Hey, Jesus, come on. What are you doing? You got all these people here. You could just like show them and all that. And he said, wait. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Us and them. Us and the Pharisees. Us and the Sadducees. Come on. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is filled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Let me stop for a second. The reason why Americans have a hard time digesting the truth of God is because they won't open their mindset to the things of God. So you have to go to a different country like Haiti, where they got nothing. They got no distractions. They got no shallow ground. They got nothing but the trust, this word of God that's going to come forth from a man so they can receive. And that's why they have the miracles. That's why they have the signs. That's why they have the wonders. That's why they get the hundredfold increase. That's why things break loose over there. And you say, well, why doesn't it happen in America? Because we have gotten lazy. We heard it. Oh, we heard it all before. We heard it on this guy on the radio. We heard it on the guy on the TV. We heard it on the guy on the internet. We heard it all, but we're still deaf. We don't have ears to hear. That's what the Lord says. So God will put it in parables. When you go over there, you preach like I preach, because you don't have to have any parables. There's nothing to veil, because they're going to get it. Their ears are wide open to hear what you're about to say. They're willing to go on and go and jump 10 times in the air if they have to. They're going to go wash in the water, and they go put mud on their, whatever they have, they're willing to do that. But see, Americans, we've grown dull. So their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed, least they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. See, they were all there, but they weren't wanting what Jesus had to say. Jesus did not give them what they wanted. When they asked Jesus who he was, Jesus was quiet many times when they were going to persecute him. And all you have to do is, hey, you know, tell your story. You're probably not the guilty one here. But Jesus said, you know, silent. Many times Jesus speaks to us through the Holy Spirit and we don't want to hear what he's saying, so we ignore him and we don't do what he says, and then we blame the devil because he's there. He's a reliable person to blame. That we didn't get what we got because God didn't love me. God loves everybody the same. It's those who love him, get the respect of him, get it returned to them. Jesus loves everybody the same, but not everybody loves Jesus the same. Some people don't like the name of Jesus. Some people just are turned off that Jesus. They don't love him. But the kingdom of God was built for those that love him. God wants to give you full access to everything he has. And he breaks it down so easy as a seed, as sowing, as ground. Your ground is your heart. And out of the issues of life spring forth from your heart. The reason why you have the issues in your life is because something got sown in there that you've allowed. And you didn't want what God was saying, so you chose something else. See, the kingdom is based on the hunger we have for God. God wants you to be kingdom healthy, business healthy, financially healthy. He wants your family healthy. This morning, are you hungry for the things of Jesus? The Bible says in Matthew 6:33. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you a few things you need. He'll once in a while talk to you. He'll visit you on an infrequent basis. He'll give you everything He can but your rent money. He just wants you to suffer just a little while. Isn't that what the Bible says right there? He said, seek the kingdom of God. So if I seek the kingdom of God, that means I'm one that loves Jesus just as much as I know He loves me. And if I seek the kingdom of God above all else, not to worry what my boss is going to say, I ain't worried about the money, I ain't worried about the bills, I'm not worried about my kids, I'm not worried the travel, I'm not worried, I'm going to seek Him above all else and live righteously, do the right thing, and He will give me everything. Say everything. Everything I need. So He ain't going to leave nothing out. He's going to give you everything you need. He's always right on time. He may not be there when you want Him, but He's always right on time. That's the God I serve. There's a song about that. He might not be there when you want Him, but He's always right on time. Something like that. I don't know. I'm not a singer. Amen. But He's always right on time. If you focus on Jesus and pursue the kingdom of God, which is Jesus' peace, His righteousness, and joy, all things will be added on to us. Take a look at Romans 14:17 real fast. I just thrown these a few extra scriptures in here for you to help you. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not the matter of what we eat or drink, but a living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those who get the Holy Spirit are those that are in love with Jesus. And then you get goodness and peace and joy. It's not about if I can come to the convention and get myself a free breakfast. If I get to sit in the front row and I can see Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland first. No. It's about seeking what the word from that man is going to bring forth. It's about getting ready to prepare my heart, my soil, ready to hear that word. To get rid of that fleshiness of my lifestyle and prepare it for the things of God. Let me give you an example of something. The word amen means so be it. So, when I'm teaching the Word of God and you're in agreement, you do not have to be quiet. You can say, amen, so be it. Amen, amen, amen. You can agree, so be it. Because when you agree with the Word and two or more are gathered in His name and we agree, so be it, it's like touching heaven and it gets done right now. Right here, we don't have to step outside and wait to get in my car and get five more people to pray for me. It happened right now. When the truth goes forth and we agree, it has the power to manifest in our midst right now. People in third world countries get it. Because when they see something break loose, they start shouting amen. They start hallelujah. They start running around and it builds that atmosphere. And more miracles and more signs and more wonders. And it draws more out of the guy who's teaching and preaching. So I'm going to take just a minute. I'm going to agree with myself. Amen. That my family is blessed. Amen. My household is blessed. Amen. That we're financially overflowing with abundance. Amen, in Jesus' name. This church is overflowing. My city that I teach and preach to is overflowing. My business is overflowing in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. My kids are healed in Jesus' name. My physical body is healed. Amen. The band that's coming is blessed. Amen. The singers that are coming are blessed. Amen. The city that we're taking over for Jesus is blessed. Amen. My government is going to change by the power of God's word. Amen. When you get in agreement, things begin to change. It's like the kingdom come, will be done. As it is in heaven, on earth. Let me continue. I'm not going to get this all done, I know. Matthew 13, verse 18. I'll probably close with this because I got 10 more pages of notes. Amen. Matthew 13, 18 says this. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. So now, Jesus takes the veil off. Jesus begins to show something. And this is going to knock your socks off because you're going to look at, you're going to say, man, I've seen this scripture and I kind of understand from the parable side, but I want to show you something. This is so good. I can't even contain myself. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his, where? Where does the issues of life stem from? Remember I told you that in Proverbs 4:23? See how this, how God gets things connected here? Yeah, you can start understanding where the seed, the sowing, and the ground comes from. He says, and the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is the one who received the word by the wayside. Let me say something. There are wayside Christians. Still Christians, but they're wayside Christians. You know who they are. Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he or she has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. That's the one that fell on stony ground. That one's a person that's called a shallow Christian. Still a Christian, but a shallow Christian. I'm going somewhere. Verse 22, now he who receives seed, there's always seed involved in this thing, among the thorns, he is the one who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, that's the distracted Christian. The devil comes in and causes some chaos in your life to try to distract you from what he wants you to really get done. He wants to cause some issues. He wants to put some roadblocks. He tries to interfere. And sometimes the interference is only from the seed that we've sown in the past that finally ripened itself, and all of a sudden it bites you in the butt. Amen. I mean, you know, come on now. But he who received the seed on good ground, that's your heart, good ground, is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces 100-fold, some 60 and some 30. So there's a wayside Christian. There's a stony place Christian, which is a shallow Christian. There's a one that's planted in the thorns, which is a distracted Christian. And you got to understand, they're all Christians, but they're never living in the harvest or the full potential that is already theirs. Let me say that again. They're all Christians. You know them. They go to these different churches and it sounds good and we got the band rocking and the smoke screaming and there's no word going forth at the pulpit and you can't answer any questions when hard times come and you get sick and you don't know what scriptures because the pastor ain't preaching nothing from the pulpit. But, you know, that's a wayward or maybe a story because they're shallow or, you know. I'm just trying to keep it real. I don't know. soon as this goes on the internet, I'll probably get 55 lawsuits. Praise God. I got a Jewish attorney. Amen. I'm not too worried about it. And then there's the distracted Christian. And they're going wrong pretty well, and then something happens and bumps them off the wheel. They go back to that drinking, smoking, carousing around, because that seed was placed inside them. And then there's those that have the 100-fold and the 60-fold and the 30-fold. Those are the ones that go to Spirit Life Christian Church. They're the ones that don't skip any of the Bible, but they read the whole thing and believe it to be the honest to God truth. It's all about the seed, sowing, and the ground. When you look at the scripture, this was Jesus' opening remarks. Jesus was trying to tell us to see that this is about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God operates with seed, sowing, and the ground. That's how Jesus works. The devil's job is to sow the discourse and the bad seed into your heart, so when you grow up, it goes parallel with the good word and it tries to choke it out. Sometimes people will come and bring forth a word and it just falls on shallow ground. And then it gets devoured when the sun hits it. But then we blame the devil for all the inconvenience we have. You know, I got all these bills. I remember my wife and I were first dating, and I had this business, and I had all this debt and bill. I told her, I can't marry you because I don't want to get divorced. She goes, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I got all these bills and debt and all this stuff that the devil created, because it wasn't my fault that I needed, you know, a new car and a Corvette and a boat houses and money and drugs. And I needed all that. The devil made me do it. I can't take personal responsibility for myself. I got into all this debt. Come on. And I didn't even know the devil. I was working for him at the time. But I didn't know that. And I was sowing all this stuff in my life. I thought it was okay to cheat on your taxes. I sowed that seed. Guess what? It brings forth the root. And all of a sudden it's underground. It's like nobody going to know about it until you run for office. Come on now. Sold those magazines I used to get to the house that were in those wrappers, you don't want anybody to know, but everybody knows that when a postman delivered, he goes, those people are getting those funny books. Sowing that seed and saying, oh, it's okay, it's all right. Look at all those beautiful women. Look at all those beautiful guys, whatever, you know. And you get that seed in you. And then people wonder why their marriages fail, because that seed's been in there. And all of a sudden that root, that seed, what was ever in that seed, took root and came forth. And guess what? Whoops, I got problems. Don't understand why. Sprung out of somewhere, nowhere. Someone must have watered that seed somewhere. Getting it now? And a lot of these people are Christians. Some of them are wayside. Some are shallow. Some are just a little distracted. But God has something great for us. God's got the blessings, and he's willing to open up the windows of heaven and pour them all out for you to be a blessing to somebody else. And he wants to maximize you by giving you the 100-fold, but sometimes we settle for the 60 and the 30. Been there, settled for that. I want the 100-fold. I speak 100-fold. I want what I'm speaking. Lord, I want 100-fold. When I put $100 in my investments, I'd like to see 100-fold. I want them to say, well, your portfolio's growing more than everybody. Well, let me tell you about this kingdom living I do. Not worldly living, kingdom living. Because whatever is in your heart springs forth the issues of life, good or bad. I'm buried in all this debt. I made all these poor decisions. Well, yeah, you made, and sometimes those roots have taken place, and they have to burst through. But guess what? You got a God that's merciful and understanding, and he cares for you and loves you. And he's saying, hey, I'll get it under the word. I'll take care of that. Those vines that have been choking you out, I'm about to take care of those for you. I'm going to let them come up the same time as my thing, but then we're going to pull them out at that time. But sometimes those weeds that you have in your garden, sometimes those things that you've sown have to come up at the same time. And sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's a test. Sometimes you have to go through. But at the time, then God's going to pluck it out, and you're going to feel so much better. He's going to leave room. Why? There's more room for one of his seeds to be planted, to grow next to what you got, so that you can further the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. It's about the seed sowing and the ground. God wants to put more of his seed into your heart so that it will grow forth. I mean, I got to stop there, but I want you to know God wants to bless you. And some of us are going through some stuff because we still have some of those old seeds that have been dormant. And guess what? The devil hadn't forgot about them. Jesus already eradicated, but the devil just trying to bring those things. Notice how God works things out, and then the devil tries to bring back your past. And God says, I don't know about your past, but I know that your future is so bright. The devil doesn't like you to talk about your future because he knows it's so bright, that the seed that God's planted in you is going to overtake upbringings of his stuff that you used to do. That's the used to. I mean, I like that. I used to. That's the old guy that he used to. I don't do that no more. I'm not like that anymore. Those seeds have to die. I'm not the same person I was 21 years ago, 23 years ago. My wife will attest to that. We'll be celebrating this coming week 21 years. She's endured 21 years with me. Hallelujah. Give her the claps because she needs it. Praise God. I pushed it to the limit. I got pushed her right over to almost the edge, and she said, oh, no, I'm still going to stick by you. I don't know why, but I'm going to stick by you. Tests and trials, sickness and disease, chaos, confusion, people we had in our life that's so junk and it came out of my trunk. And God then starts sawing and cutting and separating and pruning and moving and shaking. And you get more of him in you, and all this stuff starts, he takes some of that root that's bad and then shakes it and puts it in and the good soil. Sometimes you got to dig a little deeper, and it hurts you just for a little season, but it's okay because God's got the best plan, because he knows where he's going to take you. The roots need to be so deep, so when the storms come, you say, well, I ain't nothing. When a test comes, you say, oh, that's nothing. Much. It's 3 hours. I'm just laying down the foundation. All I did today was I tilled your ground. I put some Miracle-Gro. I cleaned it up. I had the gardener come and just get some stuff organized before we're going to put the plantation of the seed. Because you're going to get some things sown into you. Good stuff. Press down. Shaking together, overflowing, abundantly increasing. Didn't say it was going to be easy. Didn't say there wasn't going to be some tests. Didn't say there was going to try to be some thorns and try to choke you out. I didn't say there was going to try to be some weeds that you have to tend to your garden that come out of nowhere. I mean, I watered my garden yesterday, and it was 50 weeds. Well, where did these come? They weren't here yesterday. They come out of the ground. I didn't see them they were underground. The devil always does things underhanded and underground. Seed, sowing in the ground. Get your heart ready for the seed, because out of your heart come the issues of life. Out of your heart is the things that you're starting to see come out of your life. They were already in you. The reason why you were dealing with what you're dealing with is because it was just coming out of you. It's like sitting in a sauna. All those toxins that are in you, when you sit in there, they start to come out. They were in you. They got in there somehow from something you ate, something you smoked, something you did. Come on. And you sit in a sauna and it pulls and it extracts that stuff out. It pulls it all out. Not meant for you to keep it for an eternity. That way you can hear a little better. You can smell a little bit better. The roses, the pathway of God. I can see a little bit better now that I clean my glasses. Now I can see a little clearer. They had fingerprints and smudges and peanut butter on it. But now I clean them. I can see, wow, that person. Did you get something? Did you get it this morning? Did you understand? Lord, I thank you. I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I thank you, Lord God, that we're preparing our hearts for the seed that you gave us. Lord God, that seed, Lord God, has what we need for our life. And Lord God, as much as I pray for the end results of healing and financial blessings, I just pray that you give me the seed. Because whatever's in the seed is what I need. And Lord God, when I plant the seed in the good ground, oh Lord, what's in the seed is what I need is going to bust forth and bless me. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us. Thank you for getting it done through your Son. Thank you, Lord God, that the people here today have received your word. And that, Lord God, it's not on a wayward side. It's not in a stony ground. It's not in the area, Lord God, where there's thorns. But, Lord God, it's fell on good ground. And that, Lord God, I'm believing. I'm standing in agreement with them for a hundredfold increase. A hundredfold, Lord God. There's some 60 and 30, but, Lord, we're all into the 100. We want to maximize what you've already done through your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, guide us, direct us, and use us this week to be a blessing. Let us sow good seed into people's lives that need Jesus. Guide us and direct us. In your mighty name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.